Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's 9 o'clock. Good morning, Labor Day weekend, and we are live in the studio. We'd love to take your calls about your health, aging questions, things you've heard about and you don't quite understand, and those things on social media that have you really scratching your head or going, what? We'll talk about that, too. All right, we're going to head to Tacoma right now. We have Cindy on the line. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Doctor mentioned three vaccinations at the beginning of the program that he was going to get. One of them was the flu. What were the other two?
Pneumococcus. There is a particular bacteria that older people with our declining immune system are especially prone to. And it's one of those things that kills a lot of nursing home patients. When you hear people who died in the nursing home of pneumonia, it's frequently pneumococcus. And so just because, you know, I'm 76 years old, that is one of those things that I should protect myself against. And so it's a simple vaccine, very reliable, virtually no side effects.
Okay, I get that one. What was the other one?
Yes. Was the Tdap. This is tetanus, diphtheria, I forget what
typhoid,
they're typhoid,
maybe,
yeah, typhoid. So that's just it's a common one that we give newborns, baby, yeah. You know, we give babies when they're a few days old. And it's
you
not
get that
a
every
life
year?
No, no, no. It's not a lifelong thing. But you get really good protection for about 10 years. And so they give the kids when they're kids, and they give it to them again about the fourth or fifth grade or so. And then, you know, if you go in the military, you get it again when you're 18 or 20. And so about every 10 years or so, you can expect your immunity to these things is going to be declining a bit. And I have not had one for almost 20 years. And so I'm way overdue.
Yeah.
So I just decided, okay, as long as I'm catching stuff up, you know, in honor of my 76th birthday last week, I'm going to go ahead and catch up my overdue vaccines. That's all.
So. It's Tdap is tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm not going to get the COVID one again.
Neither
I've
am
had
I.
COVID, and you know, if I get COVID, I could die from it.
You
but
could.
I could also die from something else. So
that's right. You got it.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think
true.
I have effects from either the vaccination or having COVID. I'm not sure, but I'm just going to hang in there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I know I've had COVID once, and I think I've had it twice. You know, I think I was one of the first people in America to get COVID, actually, because in 2019, my wife and daughter were in China to be on TV. They've been to China many Decembers, and they have the Western New Year. They have a big national program, and they were on there doing their little routines. But while they were in China in 2019 for the New Year's, they went to a marathon. 35,000 people crowded together at this marathon race, And everybody in their party caught this incredible cough. They were running fevers and coughing and hacking. And, of course, nobody knew about COVID then.
Right. We just thought it was a bad flu or something.
Yeah.
Laryngitis.
And so they came home on January 6th. And by January 9th, I was coughing so hard. I have never coughed so hard in my life. Every rib I had was sore from coughing.
Mm.
And I was sick for about 2.5 weeks with just this horrible, horrible cough. Mm. And that's when we were learning about COVID.
Yeah.
You know, we said, oh, it's COVID. But in those days, you couldn't get a COVID test unless you had a high fever.
Mm-hmm.
And I never got a high enough fever to qualify for an early COVID test. Mm. So I wasn't able to confirm whether it was or wasn't.
Mm.
And then I caught it again April of last year.
Oh, yeah, when you were on your trip.
That's right. I was on a road trip with my wife and daughter, and I started getting a runny nose and a stuffy head, and I said, you know, this Omicron version, it can give people just cold symptoms. I think I'll stop and get checked. So I stopped at a drugstore, and I bought a COVID test, and it was instantly positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the test and I said, well, this damn thing was made in China. I don't trust it. So so I walked in another drugstore, spreading, of course, my germs to everyone in the store, and bought a second COVID test that was made in America. And it was also instantly positive. So I said, okay, two tests from two countries. I guess it's positive. I got to admit I'm COVID positive. But we spent... My wife, daughter, and I spent a week closed together in a car all day driving around Arizona and Nevada and seeing all the sights, and they never got sick.
Mm.
So I must not have been shedding very much virus,
okay,
even in those closed quarters. And my entire illness from COVID was 3 days of a runny nose.
Mm.
And whether that was due to my vaccines or whether it was due to the fact that I probably caught it in 2020 in January and had a bad case and so built up a lot of natural immunity, or was it just, you know, I happened to get a piddly virus? I don't know.
We just don't know, yeah.
But you know what? It made me not very scared of this virus.
Yeah.
So I stay lean, I stay healthy, I run, I lift my weights, I keep my muscle mass up and my body fat down, and... Well, that's about all I can do, and I'm just not afraid
of it. Do you know what that is? That's what you've taught me. That's stacking the odds in your favor.
That's right.
And
yes,
playing the game.
You got it. And that is one of my philosophies of life, and I spread it to all of my staff, is in life, you move the odds in your favor as far as you reasonably can, and then you relax and play the game.
There you go.
And you can still lose occasionally, but you win a lot more often if the odds
are
in your favor.
That's right. And you have a better attitude.
That's right.
Everybody around you, too.
That's right.
Yes. Is that helpful for you, Cindy?
Yeah, yes, very. I'm 88, and, you know, I'm doing pretty well.
Well, good.
Great.
Keep it up another 20 years, my dear.
What? Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
Good,
so,
for
you, Cindy.
Yeah, I'm
good
not going to get the COVID one. If I get COVID, yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
And maybe I won't. And maybe I could get something else. So that's what it's going to be.
Life is uncertain.
And I appreciate, appreciate your answers.
You're welcome,
Thank
buddy.
You very much.
Aww.
Life is uncertain. Eat dessert. Dinner is optional.
I agree. I like that.
Right. I may have done that last night.
I have not heard you say that one before, Jerry.
I may have done that last night.
Eat dessert. Dinner is optional.
Oh, Cindy, thank you so much for your call.
All right, Cindy. Yeah.
Dr. Mixon has me so conditioned not to. I do the intermittent thing. I'm just not. Plus, my husband doesn't get home until later. So make the big lunch. That's what I have. And then he will have what I... And then I go to bed. Wake up early in the morning. Well, we went out for dinner for my daughter's birthday, and we were having this most amazing Italian. And I had, I think, three bites of my thing. It was wonderful, wonderful, but it was like, I'm just not hungry. And this doesn't. And then I had two bites of my dessert. So guess what I'm having for lunch when I get home today? The rest of that.
Put it in the box and take it home.
That's right. What I did. I even gave bites to other people, too. So
now the only dinners I eat are business dinners.
Business dinners, okay.
You know, if I'm with a bunch of business guys and we're talking, they're all eating, I'll order a salad or something, and you know, but
there you go. I find that I feel so much better if I don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm like, oh, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to go to Tacoma real quick. Kit is on the line. Kit, you were wanting to talk about something we brought up earlier in the show today. Welcome.
Hello, Kit.
Thank you.
How can we help you, Kit?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question about hormonal therapy for DCIS. Uh-huh. We met with the cancer team. My wife was just recently diagnosed and had a biopsy done. And we met with an oncologist, and they recommended hormonal treatment. And uh-huh. I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, well, like I said, DCIS, there is a real question in the community whether we should even call that a cancer or not, you know, because it is generally they're abnormal changes. They have some microscopic things in common with a cancer, but not all. And in most women, they don't grow. So we used to be really, really aggressive, and some doctors still are. But, you know, I mean, they were doing mastectomies and all sorts of things with this way back in the bad old days. And now they are less aggressive. You know, this is two people this morning whose loved one has been diagnosed, and they're recommending the estrogen blockers. I'm not crazy about the estrogen blockers in women if you don't absolutely have to have it. Because the estrogen blockers have a lot of side effects. And, yeah, they'll probably inhibit the growth of the tumor. But if there's better ways to inhibit it, or if it can be inhibited locally and not hit the whole body. For instance, if you're going to put aromatase and testosterone blockers right in the breast, like Dr. Glaser was doing, then you get minimal effect in the rest of the body, and the brain, and the bones, and the heart, and all the other parts of the body that, you know, that are damaged by blocking the estrogens, doesn't happen as much. Mm. And so, you know, I just think there are alternatives.
Right. If the lesion is small enough, of course, they can do a lumpectomy. Mm-hmm. And if not, then they do recommend mastectomy. And then sometimes they'll opt for radiation therapy.
But DCIS, by definition, has not spread.
Right.
So you should not need a mastectomy. Lumpectomy should be more than adequate for 95% of the
people. I agree. And I think there might be more to the patient history than we are aware of that leads to that decision.
Yeah,
obviously.
The surgeon did say that she was going to do a lumpectomy.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. And so, you know, once more, I am very aware of the impact of losing the steroid hormones on human bodies in age. I mean, it beats the hell out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to be desperately in love with my wife. And if she should ever turn up with a DCIS, I would be looking for alternatives. And I've already said it last time, and I'll say it again. I would be calling Rebecca Glaser, and I'd have my wife on a plane to Ohio and say, Rebecca, fix her. Mm. Because she has published the papers in the national journals that I think have got the most remarkable results.
Mm-hmm.
I think she is 10 years ahead of the rest of the profession.
Mm.
And for my woman, that's where I'd be wanting to go.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that good information?
What's the difference between estrogen blocker?
Is the blocker the same as
anti-estrogen?
Is
well,
that the same thing?
Kind of. Testosterone itself is an anti-estrogen. Okay, it tends to protect women against breast cancer, and it tends to shrink breast cancers when they're there, assuming they're hormone-sensitive tumors. And then the aromatase inhibitor, the one that she used in her papers was called Arimidex. It is a chemical that you can take in high doses, and it blocks the estrogen in your whole body. And that's generally what the oncologists do. They give them like 1 milligram a day every day, and they're becoming capable of making estrogen anywhere. But that means their brain, their bones, their skin, you know, everything, their heart is all blocked. And what Dr. Glaser is doing is putting it right where you need it, which is in the breast, right around where the tumor was, so that you get maximum effect there and minimum effect everywhere else. Mm-hmm. Because that's what you want to do is treat the breast. That's where the disease is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Right? So,
it's pretty, anyway. Yeah, it's pretty much just a personal preference is what you want to do.
Yes, it is. I mean, there's a lot of choices in this world. And, you know, I've been in medicine damn near 50 years now. I've mm-hmm. seen the pendulum swing this way and that away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not sure any of us have truth with a capital T. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we follow the latest data the best we know how, and we make judgment calls. And, you know, we doctors are people, and we are wrong from time to time. In fact is, we're wrong a lot more often than I would like to admit. Because, mm-hmm. you know, accepting our mortality and our fallibility makes most doctors very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to your wife and the family.
Yes. Thank you, Kit.
Bye-bye, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have something exciting going on in our clinics here. In about a week and a half, we want to let you be aware of, and we've got some more calls on the way, too. Dawn and Dennis, you're next, so stay right there. If you've got a call or a question for the doctors, we'd love to hear from you. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and this is our number. We are live in the studio on this Labor Day weekend, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
When I said I didn't want to love and you were no one I was thinking of, believe me, baby, I lied. Well, I got no good excuses, but I got plenty of regrets.
Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there. My name is Lynette. Glad to be with you on this Labor Day weekend. Beautiful weather outside today. Could be a little cloudy for the next few days. Starting to feel like fall for sure. We have a couple more calls we'll get to in just a moment, and you can get in the queue as well at 800-465-8770. Dr. Umet, you were telling us off mic during our little break that there's something exciting going on.
Oh, yes,
at
of course.
Clinic.
I know. You know, I went to one of our team in marketing, and I told her all the things that were going on, and she goes, okay, you can slow down now. Because we've just talked about IVs, and then we did the Viasure, and then the Move, and now I told her about my DNA, and then the weight loss program that's also in the works. And she goes, okay, I'm a little overwhelmed. You can slow down.
But we don't want to slow down.
We have so much going on and so much exciting stuff. This is something, actually, Dr. Mixon has been wanting for a very long time, and I've been dragging my feet on this.
That's right.
So it's my DNA age, and as of September 12th, this will go live in our clinics. And any current longevity patient can ask their doctor for this test. Right. All new health analysis visits will get it automatically within the same price range. We're not raising the price. Nope. And we might run a fair just for this test like we've done for Galleri. That's, I'm thinking about that. We're working on that, Dr. Mixon.
Well, except, you know, and I think we get a lot more response with it. I mean, we had a big response with the Galleri at $1,200 a pop. This is only $300.
That's right.
Basically, what's going on is when we're born, when we are conceived, when the egg meets sperm and we get our brand new mix of DNA, you know, we take some strands from mom and some strands from dad and we put it together and now we have us. And we are pretty much pristine at that point. The only defects we've got are those we inherited. And But as we age, a lot of stuff is happening to us. There are sugars and high insulins and free radicals and external radiation and the
personal choices and
cytokines produced from body fat and all sorts of stuff. And so we get methylation of the epigenetic markers. And so what is happening is the methylation is actually changing the way that our DNA is expressed. We have a lot more genes than we actually have turned on. And so what will happen is, as our DNA becomes methylated, some genes that we had are turned off and others are turned on.
Okay.
And the degree of methylation of your DNA is reasonably constant depending on how long you've lived and what your lifestyle is like.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those can influence it. And so we now know that when you get a certain degree of methylation, you start becoming subject to cardiovascular disease. And at another point of methylation, you start becoming subject to dementia and cognitive decline. And so what we're doing is we've now got markers or average amounts of DNA methylation from age 2 to 85. So we can now measure your DNA, get us a marker of how much methylation you've had, and put you on that scale. Mm. And it'll say, you have as much damage to your DNA as we normally see at X age.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
if
you have lived longer than that, let's say your chronologic age is 70 and you got DNA methylation more typical for a 55-year-old, that's good news.
That is good news.
If you're 55 and you've got DNA methylation consistent with a 70-year-old,
that's
bad news.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But we can actually demethylate your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
By changing your lifestyle and your hormone status and your exercise and your weight, we can really demethylate it. And so we can measure your DNA on an annual basis now.
Right.
And tell you where you are compared to the general population and where you are compared to yourself a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aging at the usual rate? Are you aging faster than normal? Are you aging slower than normal? Are we turning back your biological clock to some degree?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a neat thing to be able to do to people now.
Yes.
So, okay. It's about $300 a pop.
Okay.
You know?
And what is the test called again?
It's
My DNA Age.
Okay, My DNA Age. Yeah. Okay.
And so, you know, we are doing it for the very same price that's on their website.
Right. Okay.
So they don't pay any extra from having us do it, but here you actually get a doctor to sit down with you and tell you about it.
That's exactly
And we're throwing it into our initial evaluation.
That's
so everybody
correct.
That comes in and becomes a patient will get this test done initially.
Right.
And then we can check it periodically to see how they're doing.
And the value, as you said, Dr. Mixon, is in the second, third, fourth time, because now you want to see, is this really working for you or not? And what else do you need to do to turn this around?
That's right.
It's fascinating. We live in such an amazing time in history where
you can get all this knowledge from the tests.
Yeah.
Okay. So ask for that when you are coming in as longevity patient.
Starting September 12th.
Okay. Just a week and a half away. That's wonderful. All right. Let's get back to the phones. We've got some callers from Kent. Don is on the line. Hi, Don. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
During the intro this morning, Dr. Mixon, you mentioned your vaccines that you were needing to get, and you mentioned the pneumococcal one, or the pneumonia one, and I was a little puzzled because I figured that you must have already had the PCV13 and the PPSV23, which are the two that I have already had.
Uh-huh.
And so I started digging around, and I see that there is now that one, the PCV20, the Prevnar 20 that you're hearing about on the advertisements. And that one would be available for older folks like yourself and myself.
Yep.
However, I have a question.
Sure.
MultiCare, who I'm hooked up with, normally hounds me about every single vaccine I need to get.
Yes,
same
here,
Don. I
just
got them a few days ago telling me to come in for a flu shot, and I was like, okay. But I've never received any advisory to get a PCV20 yet, and I'm wondering do you view the PCV20 as an essential addition to those older shots I mentioned that I received about 5-6 years ago?
Okay. You see, I have not had a pneumococcal for 20 years. So I had it when I was a family doc, because I was, you know, face to face with people, you know, all day, every day.
Sick people, yes.
Sick people coughing and hacking in my face. So I kept my vaccines up when I was a family physician. But then when I moved over here 25 years ago, that became less urgent. And so I've kind of let it all slip. And so I just decided, in honor of my 76th birthday, I was going to go back, and I took a look at my last vaccines, and I was shocked at how far back some of them were. And I just said, you know, I ought to catch it all up. You get the newest, best stuff today. And so it was, it's nothing that I have been especially hounded to do, I guess. It's just, you know, I said, okay, I'm on the high side of mid-70s now, running for 80 as hard as I can. I think I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So that was my choice. It's not a, you know, I don't think it's critical. I'm about as low risk as a man my age can be. But what the hell? It's only a shot. So.
And it's been around for a while.
Yeah, well, then I guess my question is, if you've already had the those older shots that I mentioned, would you view the flavor of the month, the PCV20, as a good addition?
Okay, if I were looking at going to a nursing home, if I were in poor health, if I were getting fragile, you know, I'd say, yeah, it's probably it would move into the critical category. Right. You know, right now it's just kind of belt and suspenders. You know, I can run 4 miles before I get short of breath.
Sure.
You know, I'm doing 250 push-ups a day, 5 days last week. You know, I'm robust and strong and lean. The odds on Mike dying of pneumococcus are pretty remote.
But, well, here one last thing for you, Dr. Mixon. You'll get a kick out of this, because those notations for those two pneumonia shots that I mentioned earlier from 2017 and 2018 are in the back of my yellow WHO vaccine card or booklet that I received in early 1969.
Wow. I don't think they do those anymore.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it is filled up, because once I deployed overseas, Dr. Mixon shared a trip to that location. And once you headed over there, you ended up with all those typhoids, typhus, plague, a bunch of plague shots. I remember the plague shot as being a one that hurt a lot. Uh-huh. They would give you that one a lot.
And they used the air guns.
Oh, boy.
You know, they'd line you up.
Yeah. And, Not that kind of air gun.
They had an air gun on either side. As you walk down the line, these guys would zap you in both arms, and you'd take two more steps and zap you in two more.
Whoa. Wow.
And do not, if you ever get an air gun shot, do not try and move away too early or anything like that, because air gun will cut your arm.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
If you flinch during the shot, you'll bleed.
Okay. So those shots have changed over the years.
We were going to an endemic area where, you know, if you're out in the field in Southeast Asia, there was a lot of bugs around.
Uh-huh. And you didn't question them. You got your shots.
Got your shot.
Yes, you did.
Come on, trooper.
Next.
Next. Hey, John, thank you so much for your call. It was great.
Thank you for the call.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Wow. What a story.
Gonna break right here, and we're back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your questions. Live in the studio, we have Dr. Samira Umat today and Dr. Jerry Mixon. Here is the number to get through with your question. We've got room for you. 800-465-8770. We're going to talk to a caller in Hawaii.
Oh,
next.
Really?
Stay right there.
Wow.
And I said, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make you mine, all mine. I'll do your bidding and be at your beck and call. Yeah, I've never seen anyone looking so fine. Man, I gotta have her, she's a one of a kind. I'm going once, I'm going twice, I'm sold. I'm the lady in the second row. She's an eight, she's a nine, she's a ten, I know. She's got ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes. And I'm about to bid my...
Oh, we're having way too much fun today.
Yes, we are.
On a Labor Day weekend, we're usually recorded on this weekend, but we were all in town and we said, hey, let's do it live. We are in. And here's that number to get through with your questions, 800-465-8770. And we are going to go to Hawaii. Dennis is on the line. Dennis, what part of Hawaii are you from?
We're on the island of Kauai by the
Okay. Kauai. Oh,
my favorite island.
Oh, the beautiful garden island.
I have a lot of warm memories of Kauai.
Yes, and we've been praying for the folks of Maui the last few weeks.
I saw a picture of the tree the other day.
The banyan tree in Lahaina.
They have new life on that tree.
I hear that, yes.
Didn't die. That's good.
That's good.
A beautiful tree. My daughter loved playing around that tree.
Oh, yes. So many generations have loved that tree. Okay. Dennis.
How can we help you, Dennis?
Yeah.
Well, I know you've emphasized exercise, and I'm on board with that. But what do you think, or do you have an opinion about vibration plates as kind of a supplement to that?
As a supplement and not a replacement for, I'm fine with it. You know, older people, we start getting unstable gaits. But I can tell you there's a faster, simpler, cheaper one. You can buy these little inflatable things about, oh, I don't know, maybe 10 inches across. And they squish when you step on them.
Okay.
And you take two of them and you put a foot on each one.
Okay.
And you'll find that this thing is a very unstable. As your weight shifts, parts of it will inflate and deflate and move back and forth. You know, working to keep your balance good as you age is really important, because that's a large part of people falling.
So with the vibration, what you're saying is for balance. What he's talking about with the vibration, I guess he's trying to get some muscle activity.
Yeah, and it does trigger some muscle activity,
some
core balance again, because your body sees this vibration as instability.
Okay.
And so you tighten up muscles in an effort. So it's a kind of a
isometric contraction.
I like things with more motion to them myself, just because I like moving.
Yeah.
But you know, I have no objection to it. I don't think it's going to build a great deal of muscle mass. I'd rather you do in squats.
Yeah. And, you know, coming from a physical medicine and rehab background, I actually sometimes worry about those vibration plates in the elderly with joints and nerves and the back and disc herniations and so on and so forth, especially if you have something that you don't know about and then you exacerbate something. In the younger population, it's not as much of an issue. But you know what I've been seeing lately is a brand new laser machine that you go into the office and they literally just put pads on the abdomen, for example, and they stimulate the abdominal muscle.
But that's not laser. That's actually electrical current. They trigger the muscle contractions with electricity.
Right. And that is, I think, a little bit more powerful than the vibration device that you're talking about in terms of causing muscle contraction, building muscle fiber, and maybe even burning some fat.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, that one you can adjust the power.
Yes, you can.
And you can make it anywhere from a mild contraction to almost tetany.
Oh, wow. Those can hurt from what I've heard. So that's another new thing, a little bit more expensive than having your own vibration plate at home. I'm not
about
so.
$150,000.
But I'm,
quite a bit.
And you want a therapist to do that for you.
Okay.
But I'm not, as we get older, not very. I mean, I have seen you at a conference on a vibration plate. Having fun, but honestly, I was worried for you when you were doing that. You were lucky you didn't have anything bad happen.
Okay. I can get on the vibration plate and stand on one foot.
You did. I know, but I was worrying
next time
you
tether.
As you were showing off.
We don't want you to get hurt. Is that helpful for you, Dennis?
Yeah, very helpful. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Aloha. Thank you for calling.
Aloha.
All right. Aloha.
Oh, it's, but you have to do it the way it's done. Aloha.
Aloha. I like that better. Okay, we're going to stay back in Washington State here in Steilacoom, and Don on the line. Don, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
I'm in Shelton.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I used to own a church in Shelton.
A church?
No.
Yeah. Did you really?
The little red brick church right downtown.
Uh-huh.
I bought that because it was, they built themselves a big new church.
Okay.
And so I bought it and refurbished it as my office.
Oh, that's right.
Ah.
That's right.
I used to
I
used to tell people that now you can just consider this a temple of healing.
Temple of healing. Did you keep the steeple on top?
So,
that's great.
Yeah. Anyway.
How can we help, Don?
How can we help, Don? What's up?
Well, yes. My question is, I have, after almost a year and a half, 2 years of tests and studies, what have you, I've been diagnosed with CIDP, and I'm I also have MGUS, and it's an early stage. It's on a 2 being a bad number. I'm 1. And I'm being treated at this point for the CIDP. I've been... it's been recommended to have the infusions of IVIG. I've had my first treatment. I have one next week. And my symptoms, I've had, I've lost the atrophy of my calves and a chunk of my feet. So I walk, you're joking about balance. It's very, very real. You know, I'm like a wobbly toy half the time. And I came aware of... a treatment, a LDN, low dose naltrexone.
Yeah.
It's, some pharmacists or friends have said may be beneficial to me, and I have not had success in discussions with my medical team at this point. And I just wondered what your opinion would be of the LDN, if you're aware of that.
Okay, let's start with the CIDP. Great. Chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyradiculopathy.
Wow, I don't think I'm going to try to learn that word. That's
okay,
big.
Yeah, so CIDP.
Yeah.
A lot easier. You know, I know one, I have a friend who suffers from this, and he has home here and in Hawaii. He goes back and forth. But he'll come home and he gets his intravenous gammas and so on. And outrageously expensive treatment, from what I understand.
Yes.
LDN?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, they were doing like $14,000 a pop.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, outrageous. But anyway, he's improving slightly. I guess he's been getting the therapy every month or two for the last year or so, and he's getting some improvement. His hit his hands and his arms more than his lower extremities. I have not heard of low dose naltrexone for this particular issue.
Correct. In the medical realm, it's not a treatment. I know some alternative physicians, even our naturopathic physicians, have used it. I think there is some anecdotal evidence that it has helped some people. But I think depending upon how severe the condition was, I would probably opt for the immunoglobulin therapies first.
I'm just wondering if about the possibility of doing it as an add-on.
Yeah.
The immunoglobulins first and then this as a secondary.
Adjuvant therapy.
Yeah.
And to prevent, or in early disease when it's not so extensive, to maybe slow down the progression. But I don't know enough about it, have not read published data about it.
Have you brought the question up with your neurologist?
Yeah, she's a little reluctant to do simultaneous, not being able to measure if the infusions are successful. And my particular kind of neuropathy, I guess there's several different kinds. It's difficult to measure any progress because I don't have pain, but I'm losing function and sensory and that kind of thing. So it's more of a maybe arresting it as opposed to making it better. And it's hard to give feedback saying, well, I don't hurt anymore. Well, I didn't hurt to begin with. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, and the question is, how much atrophy are you getting in those muscles? Mm. And my friend, he has profound atrophy in his hands and forearms.
Okay.
In my life, I took the test, and there's no stimulation whatsoever in that middle calf, and in the top there's no nerve stimulation at all when I got tested.
Okay.
So it's after completely in those muscles.
Yeah.
Okay. So do they do nerve conduction studies for you? Is that how they know?
Yes. Yes. We did the what to call you do that you get electrodes and they hit you with a taser.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's they're painful. Okay. Yeah. That's the only way to know. They could do a series before and after and you might get an idea. But I think given what you're saying, I'd probably go for the globulins and listen to your neurologist and maybe do this later and not simultaneously.
Yeah, although I'm going to pull some papers. This just got me a little bit curious because, once more, if there is a place for it, I would like to let my friend know about it, too.
I agree. And, I haven't seen data about it. I know our naturopathic colleagues, Jerry, in our clinic, too, are more familiar with LDN than we are as MDs. And I know that for pain and for weight loss, we have talked about using LDN for whoever is familiar with it and can know how to watch it and how to kind of increase the dose. In my experience, I used it once for a lady with pain, and it really did not help her, and we discontinued treatment after a while.
What I understand, and you would know better than I, of course, is that it does that. It's obviously in a high dose. It's used for addiction,
right?
Right. Like you said, the subsequent other studies that come along with it is that it goes after the same receptors, I guess, whatever. That inflammatory autoimmune has and sets them off just like it does the hepatic, and that evidently is part of the causal of some of the inflammatory autoimmune issues. That it isn't just CIDP, but I understand there's an array of afflictions that have a similar concept of the receptor blocking that helps eliminate that progression.
I know some people are using it for a wide variety of things. Mm-hmm. So, but again, I've done no reading on this with CIDP.
Yeah, me neither.
Because I've only known one case in my life, and I was not involved in treating him. He was just a social friend. Mm. But
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. I'll look it up and see what I can do.
Right. Call us back another time if we have more information. We'll be happy to share it with you.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, Don.
Thank you very much. Okay.
And all the best to you. Yeah, all the best to you. Good luck.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, taking your phone calls and answering your questions. We're going to Burien now, and we have Howard. Good morning, Howard.
Hello, Howard.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. I was listening with interest last week. You talked about Tadalafil.
Mm. Yes, Tadalafil.
And I had a couple. Yeah, I'm 75 in good health, and I don't have or need any prescriptions. But the benefits that you announced about it sound very good. I don't have ED problems, but, the relaxing of the arteries and the prostate and the other good things it does for you. So I guess my basic question is, if I get on that, would I take 2.5 mg a day or 5 or do you have an answer for that?
The average dose for older men on a daily basis is 5 milligrams a day. Mm-hmm. It's a nice drug. I can run through the litany for those that maybe have missed it in previous weeks, but it was written.
If you want to, go ahead.
Yeah, it was written originally for erectile disorder, and by
Mm-hmm.
No, that was sildenafil.
Okay.
This one was made specifically for ED.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was originally prescribed for erectile disorders, but now we know that most solid tumors, most cancers, are very rich in phosphodiesterase. And so our phosphodiesterase inhibitors tend to slow down the growth of cancers. They tend to decrease the the development and spread of cancers from metastasis. I saw one big study that showed that it cut the risk of prostate cancer in half. Mm. And so for older men, prostate cancer is a biggie. So a 50% reduction in the incidence of prostate cancer.
Incredible.
You know, in addition to the better erectile function, it decreases the risk of fatal heart attacks. In fact, when used with testosterone and a statin, in older male diabetics, it dropped the risk of dying from a heart attack from 30% to 3%.
Mm. And statins alone and the PDE5 alone did not come close to it. It was in combination with testosterone.
Yes. Yeah. It was the testosterone, the PDE5 inhibitor, and the statin. The three of them dropped that risk. So, it improves blood flow to the brain. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as an older man, I don't see any of those things that that I don't want.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm on it every day.
So my question is, you know, I like to take the lowest dose that helps me. Would 2.5 a day be enough, or should I go to 5, you think?
I don't know. The standard dose for men has been 5. And I've found a fair number of older men that as they age, increase it to 10. Mm. I don't know anybody taking 2.5, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't work. It just means I have no experience with that level.
Okay, great. And one other thing sort of related, the beet... the beet substance mm-hmm. we take for the nitric oxide. I got some of that recently, and I used a glass full of it before I go run or a workout.
Sure.
Just started doing it a couple weeks ago. But I don't notice a bit of difference as far as my wind energy or anything like that. Does it take a while to kick in, or is it kicking in too quick and going away?
If it's going to work, it should work within minutes. You know, the nitrates get in your system quickly. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the super beets or one of the analogs to that. Yeah.
How long are they effective, roughly? Any idea?
No. You know, I've never used super beets for myself or my patients. I see their ads. You know, if I'm going to do beets, I just like beets. I say, go ahead and mix up a big bowl of borscht. See, I love them.
But I can stand the juice made out of the powder. And I've been using a generic, you know, a different brand that's about half the price, Super Beets. But well, I guess you answered my question, so I thank you very much.
I mean, even know what's in them, right? Does it even anything? I think the best way to know might even be measure nitric oxide before and then after and know.
Yeah, you know, we measure your nitric oxide levels in your saliva. Before we do a nitric oxide producer, because we've got a couple of things that we can use in the office that we give people. But we check your nitric oxide first, and then we can give you the compound and see if it helped. And if it did, then you should stay on it. So, you ask your doctor to, check your nitric oxide level.
I will do that next time. In fact, I go see him next week. So we'll appreciate the information. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Sir.
Thank you for the call, Howard. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Time for one more call today on Bremerton. We're going to go to Bremerton, take a ferry, and talk with Tom.
We have a wait on the ferry.
There is a wait on the ferry, but we will travel with radio waves. Hi there, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. Hi. Hi, doctors. Yeah, I have a pain in my right knee, and I've had it for about 4 months, and it's progressing and getting worse. I'm a patient, and my doctor had prescribed collagen. I've been taking collagen for several months, and that doesn't seem to be doing anything. So I'm looking for a recommendation of what to do to get rid of that pain.
Well, I need a little more information about the pain. Are we talking about on or under the kneecap? Are we talking about laterally? Are we talking about on the backside? Where does it hurt, and when does it hurt?
Under the kneecap when I move it.
Okay. So you may have a chondromalacia, which would be common.
How old are you, sir?
86.
Okay. And 4 months. 4 months ago, you didn't have any of this?
Correct.
Okay. So you're bending your knee? Are you kneeling down on something at that time that may have caused it? Did you hurt yourself?
Not that I'm aware of, no. It's just something that started as a minor pain and then progressed.
Yeah, see, a kneecap is mostly cartilage. It's not really bone. And the underside where it rubs across the knee, across the joint, can get rough and inflamed and irritated.
And that's very common.
Yeah, it happens a lot. And so what you're really trying to do is decrease the inflammation.
Right.
And so I would be looking for supplements that are anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. High-dose resveratrol, curcumin, any of that polyphenols that we're using as anti-inflammatory.
Well, yeah,
products.
Omega fish oils will do it, boswellia, yeah. And some natural supplements. Sometimes I even tell patients to rub testosterone cream in that area, see if it'll help decrease some of the inflammation. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you want to find out what the diagnosis is first. So if you haven't had any x-ray, I suggest maybe getting an x-ray. Yeah, you know, you mentioned the collagen. I'm not quite sure if you're even absorbing any of that collagen, let alone trying to reduce pain symptoms with that. So, not sure about that. As Dr. Mixon has mentioned many times, the best collagen is actually from food. If you eat some, you know that you're going to get some into your system. I've struggled with recommendations of collagen, and I actually don't go that route. I just don't know what. It's an expensive product. Is it working or not? How much are you really absorbing? Is it really going to do anything?
Yep.
So that's a tough one for me to answer. So I'd really focus on the pain a little bit. What was the etiology, the timeline? What have you done for it? What is the diagnosis? And maybe go in for an x-ray if it's still persisting, especially if it's radiating anywhere, if it's getting worse, and if it's affecting your lifestyle, your ability to walk, sleep,
climb stairs, waking up.
In the night. So, is it red? Is it inflamed? All those kinds of things. Do you have an effusion in the joint? What's going on? If you've been having it for 4 months now, I think it's time to go in and somebody put their hands on it and take a look.
Yep, absolutely. So get yourself into a decent orthopedist. Let them examine that joint thoroughly, get some imaging studies, and get a firm diagnosis.
Okay.
First diagnosis, then therapy. If you don't know exactly what you're treating, chances of treating it well are poor.
So.
Thank you very much, Tom.
All right, take care.
Thank you so much for calling in. It's been a busy show for a Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, lots of different calls today. And, of course, we keep all of our broadcasts and post those on our website each week. Right around Tuesday or Wednesday, you can go in there and hear the previous Saturday broadcast. And that way, if you thought you heard something or wanted to hear something again or maybe refer a friend to listen, you can do that. We have a collection on our website. You can go to lmclinic.com to hear those back. That's also where you go to sign up for the free health analysis appointment, because so many times we'll get calls from people that will hear the doctors talk about, well, if you take this or this, this will help. But if you don't measure, you don't know, right, Dr. Mixon?
Absolutely true. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And if you're a patient here at Longevity, they will measure.
You measure a lot.
They have the information. They won't guess at what you need, because they know what you need because they see the numbers. And that's why it's so important to get in for that free health analysis appointment. Find out if you are at risk for things down the road coming up that you could be facing, things like cancer, joint degeneration, sexual dysfunction, diabetes, heart disease, and so much more. Get the details by coming in for that two free tests, the blood test and the Embody test, and meet our staff here at Longevity. The phone number to call and to get through is 866-86-YOUNG. Ask for the free health analysis appointment, or you can go online to lmclinic.com. And we have three clinics that you can choose from. You can go to Kirkland, and in about 3 weeks, we'll have a brand new clinic. You can come check it out.
Can't wait.
We're also located in Tacoma and in Linwood as well. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and of course, we're talking about the those longevity medical clinics. All right. Well, we will be back in the studio next weekend, and we may have a special doctor in the studio.
Dr. Michael Gilbert.
Dr. Michael Gilbert. He is our eye specialist. That's next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. You have a great rest of your weekend.